This is the Astrology University podcast, helping you find inspiration, insight, and connection through the study of astrology. And I'm your host, Tony Howard. Well, hello, everyone, and welcome to the Astrology University podcast and this episode of the Cosmic Eye Forecast, where this month we'll be looking at Libra season. And I have Vanessa Montgomery with me today to usher us into Libra season. Hey, Vanessa, thanks for joining us.
Hey, Tony. Hey, everyone. Thanks for joining us for Libra season, spring and fall.
So good to have you here. Vanessa's joining us from the Gold Coast in Australia, where it's heading into spring and summer, right?
It is at the Gold Coast. Spring is never far away anyway, because it's so sunny and warm, but I'm welcoming it, ready to get back into the surf and swim around. And you guys are heading into fall.
Yeah, you know, for sure.
Yeah, so different, opposites.
Yeah.
So Libra season, it actually, I find it really fits here in the Southern Hemisphere. You know, I always think of cherry blossoms when I think of Libra and flowers and spring. It's so beautiful. It's so floral. Have you got little flowers on your shirt? I can't really see it.
I do, little tiny flowers, yeah.
Yes, that's what I think of. And I've got my high tea set on from Camilla, which is all flowers and tea sets. So Libra season, oh my gosh, don't we need a little bit of harmony right now? And yeah, convivial conversation, listen to all the sides.
Absolutely.
I'm waiting for this to come. So of course, Libra is a yang sign. It's interpersonal and it's an air sign. So it's interesting that Libra is often seen as, I suppose people think of it as yin slash a feminine sign, but it's actually yang. So being an air sign and interpersonal, that just means externalizing, like reaching out to form for Libra, what relationships, to connect with people intellectually, to have that conversation, to connect things, like connect people up as well, the matchmaker of the zodiac for sure. And their motto is I balance. Of course, the image is the scales, the balance again. And the ruler is Venus. So the harmony, the beauty, it's so important. The shopping, which I'll get to. It's very light and very airy feeling, which I'm embracing as well. I saw a talk by Alexander von Schlieffen, based in Berlin, and he went, this was great, this is so Libra. He went through an artist for each sign, and he looked at the way that their art looked. And for the Libra one, and I thought he nailed it. Like, I watch a lot of things and some things are hit and miss, but he really nailed every single one. And for the Libra one, he was talking about everything centered. You know, they love putting things in the middle of the page. They love these like columns balanced. And it's so true. And the artist for my second book, Cosmic Power, she's a Libra. She's a lot of air in her chart and everything's centered. It's light, like things are often don't touch the ground, they're floating. So that's the Libra vibe right there. The balance, yeah, keeping the balance. So I do love the pitfalls of every sign, of course. So the pitfall of keeping the balance is people pleasing, avoiding conflict, looking at every angle. So that's the indecision that Libras are famous for. It's more like A, avoiding the conflict that making a decision makes, and B, they're taking the time to look at everyone's place in it so they can come up with a fair decision. And that takes time. That's why it's opposite Aries, which is just like, go, go now. So they're very, it's very agreeable. But yeah, peace at any cost is not balanced. So I do notice about Libra as well, sometimes they can tip the scales just to like work their magic and relentlessly make that balance again. So there is that with the shadow sign, like all things are just a little bit too peaceful. I have no function. Tip. So there is that. And of course, with Libra, I think a lot of people, like there is a focus on the beauty because it's Venus. And that's important as well. Like every archetype and every planet has a function and beauty is important. Like, don't we love the arts? Aren't the arts a place of refuge for us in these times when things can really, you know, burn down our nerves because it's been pretty full on? Where do you go? Watch some beautiful drama, look at some art, make some art, listen to some beautiful music. That's all Venus. And it's really important to balance and harmonize your nervous system and, you know, your perspective and everything once again. So that can be, yeah, an avenue to that rebalancing. Very important and certainly not to be discounted as well. It's very like polite society, high tea, can sort of steer things back onto, you know, a play, you know, don't, what do they say? Don't work with or talk about, you know, politics, don't work with children, animals, don't talk about politics, don't talk about religion, things that people get really heightened about. But that doesn't mean Libra isn't in the fray, which takes us to the classic signs. Who is your classic sign, Tony?
Mine is Will Smith, who has the Sun, Mercury, and Venus in Libra. And he once said in classic Libra form, I'm good at making people feel comfortable. Oh. And that's pretty easy to see in the interview with him or just, you know, him, you know, hanging out. But even also in his films, a lot of his characters have that quality as well. His relationship with Jada Pinkett Smith is high profile. I think that's the Libra coming through as well. And in a 2020 episode of a TV show called The Red Table Talk, the two of them gave a public window into some of their more challenging relationship dynamics as they talked about Jada's affair. So difficult conversation there. And then they also talked about how they patched things up and healed their connection afterwards. So really a beautiful expression of the fullness of the Libra archetype there.
I didn't realize that he was Libra with other Libra placements. That makes so much sense. And he is beautiful. He's beautiful. His beautiful face. Yep.
Yeah, totally. Yes, exactly. Totally agree. I have a quote from another Libra. This is from Oscar Wilde, who had the Sun and Venus in Libra. And he says, it is through art and through art only that we can realize our perfection. Through art and art only that we can shield ourselves from the sordid perils of actual existence. So a little bit of a Libra perspective there as well.
Yes, absolutely.
Whether you agree with it or not, definitely distinctly Libran. So who's your Libra poster child for this month?
Well, first of all, I'll say I think Oscar Wilde really does have that Libran vibe. It reminds me of Brian Clarke, who, of course, is a well-known Australian astrologer who has a massive stellium in Libra. I think those two have a really similar vibe. There's a real arts and poetic nature to both of them. So the poetry of Libra is strong. So my classic is I'm going for probably the less political side this year. Last year I went for political, which is AOC, who I love. So this year it's Dita Von Teese. What a classic Libra. She's such a classic Libra. So she has Libra, Pluto, Sun, Mercury, Uranus, but you can see the Libra and hear the Libra, but the Uranus and that Pluto I think are very strong as well. So it's not pure Libra, that Uranus particularly in a lot of her quotes. So of course she's an artist, she's an entertainer, she's all about beauty and glamour. Like the Venus is so strong. So one of her quotes is, you can be the ripest, juiciest peach and there's still going to be somebody who hates peaches. So I love that quote generally because it's, again, it's got that Libra feeling of something beautiful and it's just sort of poetic in what it is. And although it's not about balance, it's still about, you know, you can't please all the people all the time, which can speak to that shadow side of Libra as well. And I really like that. So it's, you know, that Libra thing in a relational dynamic. So I learned this from Brian, of course, because he was one of my teachers, is Libra's air and it's about relationship, but it's not about merging. It's about having that space and being equal. And you can't come into a relationship and have it balance and work unless the two people are independent in some way. So perhaps bringing in that Aries vibe. So that's what I quite liked about this. Like you just have to be contained in yourself as well. And then she talks a lot about, here's another quote, it's that idea of what you're not born with, you can create. And there's a lot of quotes with that. She talks about, you know, that I guess it's that artistic, creative side of Libra, like you can make it, you can create it. And she really supports people to do that. And of course, that's what a lot of her image and her career is based on, is what you could call artifice, or is it being creative? Like, she is her own art piece, and why not? And she also says that everyone, no matter his or her age in life, has the right to feel beautiful. So she's a lot of beauty things like that. Like, here you go. You can, you know, here's Venus for you. Get in touch with that part of yourself. And I love that. So, and I'll mention one more person, which is quite modern, Doja Cat, who has Libra, Sun, North Node, Mercury, Chiron, possibly Ascendant, not completely sure, but she has a video out at the moment called You Write, and she's got like a Libra glyph as her hairpiece. She's got a zodiac, like getting into the pearly gates of her beautiful palace. It ends on Libra and then the gates open. It's all about relationships, but it's beautiful. So that and another video, Kiss Me Now, again, very Libran. They're very light. They're very airy. They're extremely beautiful with a twist, of course. So I'd suggest having a look at those for that Libra vibe. Oh, and in the second one, the Kiss Me Now one, there is a tree with cherry blossoms falling from it. And I'm like, yes, there it is. So they're mine.
Such a good one. And I think you can definitely see the Pluto twist, like you said, in the Doja Cat video.
Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh. Yes. Yeah. Yes. And maybe, I don't know, maybe it's a bit of Uranian. She's definitely kicks up a surprise. But it also reminds us that Libra is just, Libra's not a pushover. Like, look at AOC. You can still change things with that. It's very powerful. It just operates in a different way to Aries, you know, the Aries way of getting things done. So all the signs have their way of getting things done and never to be discounted. So that leads us on to the monthly moons. And this month we have our first cab off the rank is the new moon in Libra. That's going to be at 13 Libra on the 6th of October, New York time. And for that one, we have the Sun, Moon, and Mars all at 13 Libra. So Mars is right in there too. And Mercury retrograde is also in that stellium. But I thought it was interesting that Mars is right on there. So here we have that Libra vibe, but Mars is in there. So it's pushing on it a little bit to take action, to move forward. It's opposite Chiron, which is retrograde, trine Saturn. And I don't usually mention semi-squares, but it's semi-square to Venus, of course, a ruler of Libra. So something to take into account. So not the easiest new moon. I think it's interesting, like maybe letting go of relationship wounds, maybe noticing how you're relating and perhaps how things are affecting you with that Chiron there as well. What do you perceive as wounding in relationships, how you are assertive, how you reach out, things like that, because then the Mars is in there too, like tying it all back in. So I think that could be, you know, maybe thinking about how do you regret how you have verbalized something, the way that you broach a situation. You know, there's so much at the moment that this could speak to with how people are relating and how people are talking about other people and the divisiveness, whereas, of course, Libra comes into balance and look at everyone as having a free right to express themselves, but not at the expense of someone else. So there's a lot there. With the full moon that comes through, of course, 2 weeks later on the 20th of October in the US, the 21st here in Australia, and that's at 27 Aries. So we get the opposition, so the big energy. And that one is talking about the polarity of obviously Libra, Sun, Moon in Aries. And I remember once I went camping on that exact thing and it was not harmonious. There were people camped nearby. I was like, are we going to die? I don't know. It was a little bit like all my American Horror film watching was coming back at me. We're so isolated, just one friend and I. And these people were so loud. They're really bogan. We just didn't know. We should have actually gone over and just seen what the situation was, because did not get sleep. It was awful. So I felt like, my gosh, that moon in Aries is really causing a ruckus. It was not Libran. And this one, I mentioned that because it's T square to Pluto. So you've got the sun opposite the moon, and at the peak, the apex it's called, is Pluto. So it's a bit hardcore. So yeah, look at, you know, the heat of the moment could just watch around that time, like cool down if there's a heat of the moment thing, or maybe it will push you to actually express something that does need expressing, you know, something that is difficult because it's Pluto, something you don't want to look at, or someone else might bring that to you if you're not willing to look at it yourself. So remember, things can be a mirror, and if you don't let the steam out, it's got to come out somewhere. So yeah, I always think that's a good one that astrology can help us to understand. So it's pretty gnarly. It's a bit of a plunger, you know, to get, you know, the crap out, like whatever is festering and needs to be expunged. It could be a bit of a power play with Pluto. You know, just look at what happens then. Again, it's a heat of the moment with that full moon in Aries. It's like a big vibe. And with Pluto in there, it's like it's really pushing or obsessive, or it won't let go of something. Like, so look at what that thing is if something's caught you in it. And that's it. So Tony, let's move on to the headlines. What are the headlines for October for Libra season?
Well, the big aspect all year, Vanessa, is still Saturn in Aquarius, square Uranus in Taurus. I start this section the same all year, but we had the second pass of that aspect on June 14th, and we'll get one more in late December. So we'll be talking about it again. But this month, Saturn and Uranus are still retrograde, and they're staying about 7 degrees apart right now. So they've got some space between them, so the aspect's not quite as tight. Saturn turns direct at the end of October, and then they'll slowly work toward that final rematch at the end of December. And I've talked about this one pretty much every month a little bit. So check out some of the previous podcasts to hear about that aspect. Today, I'm going to focus my time instead on Mercury retrograde. And Mercury will be retrograde in Libra from September 26th to October 18th this time around. It starts out stationing retrograde at 25 Libra and then stations direct at 10 degrees of Libra. So if you have Libra planets in that zone, prepare to say hello to Mercury retrograde. This retrograde station starts out square to Pluto and Capricorn, opposing Eris and also trine Jupiter. And it's a really interesting configuration to start out with Mercury retrograde. And I feel like we may have lucked out a little bit here in the US with the timing of this tense configuration, because we just had some demonstrations last weekend at the Capitol in support of the January insurrection, and the Capitol police were really prepared for anything to happen, honestly. And it turned out to be not well attended, and nothing really kind of crazy happened. But I feel like if that demonstration had taken place this coming weekend instead, we might have seen a little bit more potential for shenanigans. Mercury and Libra might be vocal about issues of fairness or equality, or just making us aware of the other point of view, whatever that is. But it's trying to stand up to powerful and disruptive forces here in this configuration with Pluto and Eris. And those forces might not care one bit about what Mercury thinks about fairness or justice or equality. But these are forces that are too strong to impact, or that might feel outside our control to influence. So the kickoff for this Mercury retrograde has intensity and gravity. But by the end of the cycle, we should find ourselves in new territory, and I'll explain why. As Mercury stations retrograde, it marks the beginning of the end of its cycle in relationship to the Sun. The Sun-Mercury cycle begins with the inferior conjunction, and that conjunction takes place right in the middle of the Mercury retrograde. So as Mercury stations retrograde, we're kind of at the beginning of the end of that cycle. And right in the middle of the retrograde, we start a new Sun-Mercury cycle. I'll talk about that particular conjunction in a YouTube video coming up in early October. But today, I just want to share some thoughts about this beginning part of the cycle and Mercury retrograde from Dane Rudyard's perspective, because he adds a layer to our Mercury retrograde lore that doesn't often get talked about. With this model, we can reflect on each moment as part of a larger cycle, and we can find a sense of the quality of time within that awareness. In this context, we can understand Mercury retrograde mishaps in a totally new light. As Mercury's cycle with the Sun comes to a close, like it is now, it's the perfect time to wrap up thought processes that we've been wrapped up in, or to release attachment to these same ideas as we prepare our mental space for something new. The communication breakdowns and setbacks with Mercury related activities like short distance travel, email, or paperwork shuffling start to make sense in this light because the energy of this time has the quality of breaking down, releasing, or ending. If we go with this flow instead of resisting it, we can see letting go and release as assets. It's only when we try to forge ahead or push against the grain of that flow that's asking us to slow down that we meet frustration. If we've been aware and present with the whole Sun-Mercury cycle, as we come to the end of it, we might have a clear sense of the thoughts that emerged during and shortly after that last inferior conjunction, and we've been actively pursuing them and processing them and working with them. We might have followed a line of thinking to its fullness and then tried out some new ideas or fresh approaches, found out which ones had legs and which weren't really viable. And then we might have gone through a sorting and analyzing process after the superior conjunction. We might have put some ideas into form or into action, and we might have let others go. Now, as we approach the station retrograde, we get to review that full arc, that full mental storyline. Rudyard advises us to shift our energy during this time from clinging to the past to willingly surrendering to the process and intentionally letting go of attachments. And part of this is to wrap up the last cycle, but it's also in service to setting the stage for the next mental journey that's about to begin. In this particular cycle, that's on October 9th at the inferior conjunction between the Sun and Mercury. So again, that's the start of the new Sun-Mercury cycle, October 9th. So right now, allow yourself to slow down. Sort through your mail, your email, take care of loose ends. Add some padding to your daily schedule so that if things take a little bit longer than usual or the person you need to talk to isn't available, you've got some flexibility there. Remember, just as a quick aside here, people make a bit too much about Mercury retrograde because they associate it with everything. And Mercury doesn't rule everything. Mercury doesn't correlate with everything in our life. It correlates with some specific experiences, and communication is one of them. So communication, issues around communication can come up. So kind of focus your attention and awareness there, or thought processes like I've been talking about. Now, getting back to those processes, if we cling in places where we're being asked to let go, we can become reactionary and resist the natural movement that's trying to happen here. And this movement calls for some compassion for ourselves and for others as we surrender to what is, rather than trying to force an agenda that's just not wanting to happen. So this is a wonderful time for reflection and re-examining the last 3 months and to ask questions like, what's worth keeping? What's no longer relevant? What can I let go of? And what might I want to bring forward into a new cycle of thought and exploration? After October 9th, you're sure to start to light up with some new thoughts and new directions to consider, even while Mercury is still retrograde. But these emerge with a bit more fertility if you prepare the ground now in the ways I've just described. So getting into that letting go vibe. Getting in sync with the cycle of Mercury can not only be fulfilling and insightful, but it can also reduce stress as you allow yourself to go with the flow rather than resist the energy at hand. Some key dates to watch out for in this Mercury retrograde include October 3rd, when Mercury applies to trine Jupiter again. Now, this air trine would be wonderful for communications that tie up loose ends, that share well-developed insights that have emerged out of a process of careful analysis and reflection. If you've been working through this whole Sun-Mercury cycle consciously, and you know, even if you haven't been aware of it in the way I just described, you may still have found that you've been participating in that cycle, because we don't need astrology to participate in these cycles. We just need to be conscious and aware. The next day to focus in on would be October 4th, where Mercury forms a quincunx to Neptune. And on that day, you might see some more classic Mercury retrograde technical snafus, especially those that don't make any sense, that seem to come out of nowhere, like a piece of software that you use all the time just starts glitching out and you have trouble fixing it or figuring out what's going wrong. And the best thing could be to just step back from what you're doing, if possible, and try to sort it out a couple of days later. It's possible the issue could just go away as mysteriously as it came on. On October 9th, we get the important inferior conjunction that I just talked about. And that marks, like I said, the start of a new Mercury cycle. After that, it's okay to start pursuing new lines of thought if they emerge, and they often do. There can be an excitement as this starts to happen. And I say, let that excitement grow. But while Mercury is still retrograde, resist the temptation to start implementing your ideas right away. Instead, give them a little time to mature. On October 12th, Mercury forms a quincunx to Uranus while also conjunct Mars and the Sun and square the Moon. this feels like the temptation to jump in head first is just too hard to resist. So what I was just, you know, giving you advice not to do, you just think throw caution to the wind, but you might consider what first steps you might take once the environment feels more prepared with this energy. That might be a good use of the energy. So rather than, again, jumping into implementation, do a little bit of practice consideration of first steps that you might take once you're ready. Use this moment to imagine possibilities and talk them out or write about them. There's a disconnect that you're going to need to integrate with Uranus there. And if you move forward before you're really ready, you might have to deal with some surprises later on or even right then in the moment. On October 15th and 16th, Mercury forms a parallel with Neptune, and this would be a really great day, or it's 2 days actually, to take a technology break, you know, take a break from email, to walk away from, you know, communications, spend time with Neptune aspects. I love to say get in the zone somehow. So find ways to get in the zone, whatever that means for you, to zone out. These make excellent days for a meditation retreat, for reading days, or even better, some kind of reverie or dream making. Take a swim or a quiet walk in nature, or get lost in a fantasy novel. Because the linear kind of rational experience may not work as well on those days. On October 18th, Mercury stations direct, and you might start to feel a little more solid about things, where things might be heading. So now it's a good time to get in the zone of collecting data, having conversations to learn more about what you don't know about these new ideas that are brewing. And you're entering this phase of collecting, growing, and building. So allow yourself to start moving now. It's going to take a few days for Mercury to really speed up. So it might still feel like things are moving slowly. It can still feel like you're walking in molasses. But after a few days, Mercury will pick up speed and start to move at a more normal clip. And then you'll feel that energy. And then it's just full steam ahead. On the day of the station direct, Mercury at 10 Libra opposes Chiron and the moon while sextiling Venus. So set an intention to become aware of your own limitations in new ways, especially those that would have to do with old wounds or chronic issues. Help is also at hand on this day through Venus, so just ask for it. A friend might be helpful in getting you to step outside yourself or give you a window into a new way of seeing, because Venus is in Sagittarius. So there's a little bit about the Mercury retrograde cycle this time around. A couple other aspects you want to notice and note the dates for would be September 23rd when Venus in Scorpio opposes Uranus in Taurus, and October 1st when Mercury squares Pluto. Anything else you want to add to that, Vanessa?
Really, mostly, I think that that full moon moment is going to be gnarly. I forgot to mention Mars is conjunct the sun, so involved in that T-square, square Pluto opposite the moon. And I just think it could be that's an explosive vibe. So just step back, lean into Libra, and yeah, make that space between a trigger and a response, of course. But, you know, sometimes you do have to push something through, so that will be helpful for that. But yeah, lots of helpful aspects this month coming up, lots of trines and a couple of sextiles. So yeah, I think that's a good thing.
And remind us of the date of the full moon again.
The 20th in the US, 21st in Australia.
Of October.
Yeah.
Great.
Okay. So it's basically in a month from the beginning of the season, because we've just had a full moon.
Awesome. So we have an ingress. We also have Venus moving into Sagittarius on October 7th. And we have some planets stationing direct. So October's a time where of transition and shift, as we have Saturn, Jupiter, Mercury, of course, at the end of its retrograde cycle, but also Pluto stationing direct. So a lot of movement of planets kind of both sitting still as they station. So really constellating a lot of energy on those degrees and then preparing to start to move forward again. So some forward motion so we might, as we move into later October, but especially November, start to feel some of the benefits of that forward motion. Well, that takes us to the declination report. And we'll start with the moon, because the moon is going out of bounds a couple of times a month right now for a few days each time. And this Libra season, those dates are September 28th through October 1st and October 11th through 14th. On October 11th through 14th, we got an interesting one, because the moon is out of bounds while Venus is also out of bounds. So that's a really important date to mark off in your calendar. I'm going to talk about Venus out of bounds a little bit more here shortly. On October 11th, the moon is also in Sagittarius, conjunct Venus. So that's a really important date to highlight as well. So on these dates, you want to pay special attention to your emotional experience and your habitual responses. If you've heard me talk about these before, my advice has not changed. These are good days for processing rather than acting on emotional impulses, right? So spend time in your process. So allow for your feelings. Don't stuff them down. Be with them. Be present with them. But maybe wait to share them or take action if at all possible. So give yourself some extra space on those days. Wait to share anything sensitive that comes up until you've given yourself the presence that you need to be able to skillfully express your feelings and your needs. On October 11th, Venus goes out of bounds. And it remains out of bounds through December 8th. So this is a very long Venus out of bounds cycle. When a planet's out of bounds, it seems to have a bit more freedom of expression and also more intensity. It can be described as extreme or out there or even unbounded. You'll be able to observe this according to what that planet represents. And in this case, I recommend that you observe Venus over this time period. And Venus relates to connection, rapport, love, beauty, and aesthetics, just to name a few things. And Venus in our birth chart tells us about our likes and our dislikes, our attractions and our aversions, and also how we attract. When Venus is in its out of bounds state, it has a bit more freedom in these realms. Now, this can be an immensely creative time if you're an artist pursuing artistic pursuits, or if you're working on beautification projects, whether that means creating a beautiful garden or outdoor area or a literal art project or a focus on your own appearance even. Remember, beauty is in the eye of the beholder, and Venus isn't really particular about what your beauty standard is. It just wants you to inject a bit of beauty in your life according to your own terms in order to warm your heart and increase your feeling of connection with all that is. As one component of our desire nature, the part that has to do with attraction and aversion, Venus can really steer us in specific directions when it gets activated. When we're really attracted to someone or something, it starts to command our attention. Mercury then gets involved, and we might think about that someone or something repetitively throughout the day. And Mercury might work in tandem with Mars to try to figure out ways to get that thing or to pursue it or take action to experience more of it. So Venus plays a powerful role in the direction that our life takes. While it's clearly visible in the day-to-day, in this function I just described, it can impact our life long-term in powerful ways. Now, when Venus is out of bounds, restraints are temporarily lifted on all things Venus. So this cycle often correlates with a time when our attractions are unchecked. If we normally have a well-functioning Saturn, let's say in our birth chart, or maybe we're in a Saturn time by transit, that Saturn could introduce restraint and prudence at best. But we have a bit less access to that function when Venus is out of bounds, at least with the Venus part of ourself. This may be especially true if you have natal Venus out of bounds, but this is also something I've witnessed that we can all experience in the collective. So we see something or someone we're attracted to, and we might not think as much about whether that thing is good for us, whether it's a good idea, or how that person or thing might impact us in the long term. We just think we want it. We just are attracted to it. And then Venus says, hey, Mercury and Mars, get on board and help me get that thing. When Venus comes out of this extreme part of its out of bounds cycle, if we've taken action to pursue our attractions, we might find ourselves surprised when we come back down to Earth. We might wonder what we were thinking and how we let things get so out of hand before reason kicked in. So my advice for you during this long Venus out of bounds period, which again goes through December 8th, is to give yourself space to feel into and enjoy the creative exploration that Venus is drawing you into, but exercise a little patience if you're feeling called to go after someone or something that feels really out of character for you or well outside your own box. Pay attention if one of your friends says, gosh, this person that you're interested in just seems, I don't know, really different from what you usually go for. Are you sure this is the direction you want to go in? If you're hearing that voice from anyone around you, definitely pay attention to in this time. I'm not saying that they're right. I'm just saying take what they're saying into account. And you know, it's Libra season, so put it on the scale and yes. Put the other side yes. of the yeah on the other scale and balance it out and see where you wind up. Now, if this is a brand new attraction, slow yourself down and draw out the courtship is my best advice. hold off on making more of a commitment or going all in until at least late December, and then do a check-in. If you find that you're still in the same zone, well, then take the next step. But you want to hold space for the potential that you might see things a little differently by the end of December, and you may find that you'll make a different choice when that part of you does come back down to earth, whatever that means for you. If we're talking about an art project or a creative pursuit, however, all bets are off. Dive in fully and see what emerges. The out of bounds period can be so fruitful. Bjork is someone who has natal Venus, Mercury, and Mars out of bounds. And wow, what a creative powerhouse. This Venus out of bounds time could be really fruitful for you if you're an artist. Venus is in Sagittarius and Capricorn while it's out of bounds this year. So have a little adventurous exploration and then bring some of that creativity into form. All right, so that takes me into the next part of the declination report, which is about parallel aspects. And these can be interpreted a bit like conjunctions between planets. We have four of those to pay attention to this month. September 27th to 29th, we have Venus parallel Saturn. Now, they're not conjunct, so that's not as strong of a parallel, but it's kind of like a little extra Venus and Saturn conversation happening that day where there's a bit of blending and harmony between Venus and Saturn. Speaking of bringing art into form, that could be one way to use those energies. Those Venus-Saturn energies can be really good for commitments as well in relationship endeavors. On October 1st through 7th, we have Mars parallel Neptune. That's kind of a long Mars parallel Neptune period. Again, those are also not conjunct, so it's a bit of a weaker influence in the grand scheme of things, but it's definitely something that you could notice, a little dialogue between Mars and Neptune there. On October 7th and 8th, we have Venus parallel Pluto, also not conjunct. None of the parallels this month are conjunct at the same time. So these are all in the weaker influence realm. October 15th and 16th, we have Mercury parallel Neptune while retrograde. And I believe I already mentioned that one earlier. So that takes us right up to our nonprofit break. And each month we feature a nonprofit on our podcast that we support with a donation. And then we also encourage you to support. And this month, our featured nonprofit is one of our regulars, Sea Shepherd. Sea Shepherd's an international nonprofit marine conservation organization that engages in direct action campaigns to defend wildlife and conserve and protect the world's oceans from illegal exploitation and environmental destruction. I just got an email in my inbox from them last week, really tragic email about some illegal exploitation being done in the Faroe Islands where hundreds of dolphins were slaughtered. It was really, really, really terrible, terrible moment. So they're working in that realm and they are pretty feisty folks. Speaking of Mars Neptune aspects, the founder of Sea Shepherd, Paul Watson, has natal Mars square Mercury, I'm sorry, square Neptune. And here he is defending our ocean creatures with direct action. Now, you might have heard about Sea Shepherd as well in the recent documentary Seaspiracy on Netflix. Check it out if you need convincing about how important this issue is. It's a very intense documentary, so it's not for the faint at heart, but it's worth knowing about what's going on if you don't. We hope you'll join us in donating this month at seashepherd.org. That's SEASHEPHERD.org. And that takes us to our next section, Opportunity Knocks. As Vanessa was mentioning earlier, we do have a few trines this month. So we have four major trines. Interesting feature this month is that three of them are in air signs. So on September 25th, we have Mars trine Saturn in air. On September 29th, we have our only water trine, and this is between Venus in Scorpio and Neptune in Pisces. On October 3rd, we have another air trine, Mercury trine Jupiter. That's Mercury in Libra and Jupiter in Aquarius. And October 18th, we have Mars trine Jupiter, also in air signs with Mars being in Libra. So 4 days where we have opportunities for some creative ease and flow. Anything you want to say about any of those aspects, Vanessa?
There's actually another one, the Sun trine Saturn, Sun 6 Libra, trine Saturn 6 Aquarius on September 29th. So that's a few. That's great. I just think with the air, obviously, it's really, again, an important time to think about how we're communicating, perhaps perfect the way that we're expressing ideas and having conversations around a lot of really, really triggering and challenging topics this year and last year. And that's certainly something I've really had a little bit of a focus on too, because I can be quite Sagittarian and I can just like shoot it out there. And it's not helpful. I've found it's not helpful. And it's actually been more helpful to listen to people that are perhaps better at that than me. And I've been really enjoying taking in how they express their opinions and their ideas and how they mix in a variety of different ideas as well, because life is complex. And at the moment, there's a lot of hot topics all at once. It's quite the fabric. And there's not one easy silver bullet or way to approach things because there's so much going on. So I think that these trines and also, the air trines particularly are going to be very helpful. So trines and sextiles, you just have to put that little bit of effort in and you get, you go a long way on that. So that's my thoughts on those.
Awesome. And speaking of sextiles, we have a few of those I was going to call out as well. And I don't usually call out the ones with the sun and moon here, but I think I do mention a Sun-Jupiter aspect here in the electional days I called out. We'll find out in just a minute. But I wanted to call your attention to the three sextiles, October 2nd, Venus sextile Pluto, on October 13th, Venus sextile Saturn, and October 17th, Venus sextile Mercury, or rather, the right way to say it is the opposite way with the faster moving planet first. So Mercury sextile Venus, but Mercury will be, I think Mercury is still retrograde that day. I think it's, if I remember right, but yes. So on the sextiles, this is a real stimulating energy. So I think that you'll notice the energy coming in on those days. I do think that, like Vanessa said, you need to sort of take action to make the most of it, but notice what excites you those days. Notice what's stimulating you and put a little bit of energetic into that. Venus is a part of all these sextiles. So Venus is kind of high up on our radar this month. So, and again, once Venus goes out of bounds, Venus is very high on our radar.
I can't wait, Tony. I just have to say last year, Venus in Sagittarius was out of bounds as well. And because we've been doing this podcast and you've got the out of bounds section, which I and everyone loves, I really noticed it. And what I noticed was, I loved it because I've got Venus in Sagittarius out of bounds. So it just felt great. I also noticed that's when the cryptocurrency took off. When Venus went into Sagittarius, it went wild. It took it next level. So I'm wondering if that's going to happen again. So let's keep our eye on that. And I also, I meant to say earlier, Venus through the signs, Venus is also like, it can be sort of money. So I know it was a bit later last year. So the Christmas spending was out of control. Like I could feel it. There was just open the coffers and go, Sag is more. So the buying. So it's probably better. It happens a little earlier this year, but it'll still be in there. Do you remember something, Tony?
Yeah. Well, what's funny about that, what you just said, is I've been getting emails and having people tell me the word on the street is to start your shopping early for the holiday season. And that really fits perfectly what you just said, and with Venus going out of bounds. Yeah.
And I guess because the postal has been slower, everything's kind of been slower. Yep. So you would need to do it early. So that will catch that Venus out of bounds and it's going to go pretty wild. Also I've noticed like what I buy, I don't buy a lot, but if I buy clothes, it's really in tune with whatever sign the Venus is in. So currently this is my Libra Venus purchase. The others have just been so on the mark. I started mentioning it earlier. So I'm interested to see what happens when Venus is out of bounds in Sagittarius. I think it's like spending. So again, just like Tony said, with relationship ideas, like really don't be too spontaneous with big spends. If it's big, weigh it up, do some consulting. Like Sag does not want to consult, but likes talking. So do to consult with someone a little bit more pragmatic and serious, perhaps, or your financial advisor before you do that. Because, you know, when planets go through Sagittarius, we get massive bubbles, especially the outer planets. There's like big bubbles where people are spending like crazy. It goes into Sagittarius and the bubble pops. So you don't want that to happen once Venus goes into Capricorn and you get your, you know, your statement in the mail from what you've been spending. Maybe use actual cash and not credit. That's a good thing. Sag could go a bit out of control with credit. And yeah, it'll just be interesting to see what you come up with. Send Tony and I some pictures of what it is that you buy, or like tag us in. I would be very amused by that.
Yeah, for sure. Well, that reminded me too of how what I was saying earlier, it works with the Venus moving from Sagittarius to Capricorn, because what they're saying is they're trying to get us to make our purchases early because they think they're going to be shortages, because we're already having shortages with a lot of things. I don't know if you've been trying to do a home remodel project. I've been reading about this, that, you know, there's a lumber shortage in the US, and I'm not sure how much that impacts the rest of the world. I don't know if you're having that too, Vanessa, but it's driven the price of things up, and then there are just shortages because there's, you know, less people able to work in factories, and we got behind from last year, still trying to catch up with production projections and things like that. So it's just a big mess out there. So we're in for another, you know, several months at least, I'm sure, of trying to get all those machines and systems working again and back up to speed.
Uh-oh, it's going to be pretty wild. I'm really looking forward to it. I wonder, like, who pops up on one's radar? Who could that be?
Yeah. If you have any great Venus out of bounds stories for us next month, so let's wait for Venus to go out of bounds first. And then, but, you know, let's say check in with me in November. And if you late November, especially if you have any stories you'd like to share, I love hearing them. So just email me at, you can email me at through help@astrologyuniversity.com, and they'll pass that on to me. Before we end up this opportunity knock section, I just want to call your attention to some electional days, or I think there's just one, there might be two here. Maybe there's kind of like one and a half. There's not any like really rock star electional days this month. These are just days with a little bit of flow to tap into. Of course, you can tap into these trines and sextiles that I've called out, but on electional days, I'm also looking for the last aspect of the moon to be a good one. And I'm also looking for, in general, the moon to be in the first half of its cycle and its waxing cycle. But when I talk about aspects or days that are part of the waning cycle, which I'm about to describe one of those are good for certain types of actions. So not necessarily new starts that you want to grow, but they are good times for certain kinds of actions. And on September 24th, there's some good juju to tap into with the moon being in Taurus and then Mars applying to trine Saturn, with the moon being in the first part of its waning cycle. So it just come past the full moon, right? Now it's waning. This could be a good date to take an action that ties something up or that wraps up something that's come into some kind of fullness, maybe recently through the full moon. On October 13th, on the other hand, as part of the waxing cycle of the moon, there's a window on that day. If you wait until after 1:48 p.m. Pacific time, again, October 13th, after 1:48 p.m. Pacific time, and you can catch the Sun and Mars trine Jupiter that day, just after the moon goes into Aquarius. Mercury's still retrograde that day, but it's in a somewhat safer zone for new starts because it's just past the inferior conjunction. Might not be as foggy as Mercury retrograde actually gets described. I think that, you know, when you take into account Dane Rudyard's teaching, you can add a lot of nuance to our understanding of Mercury retrograde and not just think of it as this like black hole where we shouldn't do anything mercurial. The moon on that day is also in its first quarter phase, and that's one of my favorite for new starts, especially for something that you want to grow over time. So that takes us to our next section, what's on your coffee table? And I'll start with mine, which is Astrology, a History by Peter Whitfield. And it's a lovely kind of picture book and also a history book, which is a nice combo because history can sometimes be mind-numbing if you don't love it like I do. History is always a page turner for me. I just love reading it. But I'm reading that one because it's a book that Demetra George assigned for an upcoming course that she's teaching for us that starts tomorrow. So really excited to dig into this one. It's one I haven't read before. How about you? What's on your coffee table, Vanessa?
Well, since we're in Libra season, I thought I would bring this one out. I read years ago. Maybe it's time to have another look. It's by Liz Green. It's called The Astrologer, the Counselor and the Priest, two seminars on astrological counseling. Of course, Liz Green is amazing. Read everything she's ever written. Update it in your brain with, you know, language, gender, all those sorts of things. But she's contributed a lot. So Libra is the counselor. So it's a good time to just kind of get a bit more conscious and aware of that, and also how it works in astrology, because, you know, there's so many people talking about astrology and the self-help mixed in as well without those solid counseling skills and how to blend that in. So I think it's really worth putting a bit of effort into that side. I found this old one years ago as well, Astrological Counsel. There's a few books that people have written on the topic, combining the astrology and the counseling. This one is by Noel Till. Personally, I studied transpersonal counseling because of that fact. And once I did that, I could hear where people could be, you know, tightening up their approach to counseling, giving advice, etc. So that's mine. And what about your key takeaways for this month, Tony?
Well, with all the planets in air, and especially Mercury and Mercury retrograde in Libra, my advice is to get into your headspace this month. So spend time reflecting on the last 3 months as part of that Mercury retrograde cycle, and think about what you've learned. We're entering also into that period of peak Venus activity, where we get to enjoy some creative exploration and be open to others who help us expand our perspectives and open new horizons of possibility. Hopefully, best case scenario, as long as we also keep one foot anchored on the earth at the same time. How about you?
I've got a few, but I find myself repeating that idea about being conscious about the way we communicate to others and what we're bringing to the table. What do we want to achieve by the conversation that we're having? What do we want to bring in terms of just something that's a little lighter? It's like, you know, put yourself in the way of beauty. If you want beauty in relationships, bring the beauty, cultivate those things. You know, if you want to sit around eating fruit salad, bring the fruit salad. You know, what are you bringing, rather than just like expecting someone else to be that thing, which is the projection side that Libra and the seventh house can also be like, when you're expecting, it's an expectation. What are your expectations? Own them. Bring it. You cultivate it. So that's mine. And what about your monthly mantra?
I remain open to other perspectives and points of view, and I have respect for myself and extend that same respect toward others. And one more, I'm open to my full creative potential. How about you?
Beautiful. I have one that I was just writing some down myself, and this one energized me the most. It's I am in love and energized by life. It's very simple. You know, the love machine is Libra, so think of Venusian. I'm in love. I'm not saying what with everything. It's just more open-ended that way, and energized by life.
Beautiful. I love it. Awesome. Well, that takes us to the end of the podcast. But before we wrap up, I want to tell you about some things going on at Astrology University. But what do you have going on, Vanessa?
I have got the usual, which is I'm always available for consults at astroallstarswithaz.com. Read my books. Check out Libra Season in Star Power, Libra in Cosmic Power. And of course, currently I'm working on book number 3. So hopefully no one too exciting shows up on my radar during Venus Out of Bounds in Sagittarius, because I've really got to keep my head down and get this writing rolling and, keep it going like it's all on now.
But you're having a Venus return, so we'll see how that goes.
Yeah, and it's all the seventh and eighth house, so I'm a little concerned, actually. I am quite easily distracted as well. Like, I find I work best by isolating myself just a tad. So I did have an offer to move somewhere much like more interesting, and I turned it down because I'm like, there's no way. I need to really focus. So I'll stay in sort of semi-isolation at the Gold Coast at Burleigh and get my work done. Thanks.
Right.
Yes. And what about you, Tony? You've always got quite a lot on the boil. What's coming up for October?
We sure do. Well, we're running three cohorts now of our four-year program. We have year one, two, and three going at the same time. And so we have three courses starting up tomorrow, actually. And the first is a new course for us, The History of Astrology with Demetra George. And that starts September 22nd. Demetra is going to take us on a journey exploring astrology's rich history and tradition, starting with ancient Babylonia, its consolidation in Egypt, the diffusion of astrology through the Roman Empire and into the Persian and Islamic republics, and finally to its 12th century reintroduction into medieval Europe. Demetra is going to look at the interface between astrology and ancient philosophy, religion, myth, and politics as she articulates how the Gnostic, Hermetic, Neoplatonic, Christian, and Jewish traditions regarded one's life through the reflection of the stars and the concept of fate and free will. All of these sessions are recorded, so if you're hearing this after the course starts and you're intrigued, you can still join in at any time. We also start up our annual Elements, Polarities, and Modalities course, and also our annual Four Angles course. Now, both of these are student favorites in our four-year program, so if you're at all interested, I encourage you to check these out. They're foundational programs, yes, but they're also really rich and students love them. Visit our calendar at astrologyuniversity.com/events to learn more and sign up. And last but not least, this weekend, Kelly Surtees continues her focus on Saturn that she started last month with her new webinar, Transition and Turning Points, Saturn Transits to the Planets. Hope you can join us for that one. And thanks so much for tuning in today, folks. And until next time, take good care.
And stay cosmic.
Thanks for tuning in to the Astrology University podcast. Study astrology online with some of the great astrologers of our time at www.astrologyuniversity.com, where we offer webinars, online classes, and virtual summits to bring you inspiration, connection, and insight through the study of astrology. Take good care, and we'll see you next time.